Good evening. I'm your host, Aaron Ripmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight to record Diz Dad's podcast, episode 101, are Eric Anderson.
Hey, everybody.
Brian Newell.
Good evening, everyone.
And Justin West.
Hello.
Now, tonight, we're continuing our Munch Madness table service dining tournament with the Dinner and a Show division. But before we get there, I do want to thank our podcast sponsor, Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. If you're planning a trip to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, heck, even Disneyland Paris, you should check out Fairy Tale Journeys. You can visit their website at fairytalejourneys.com, and any of the Fairy Tale Journeys agents would be happy to help you plan that Disney vacation. All right, gentlemen. On to the show. This is the third of our initial round groups, the Dinner and a Show group. I'll remind you that we've been polling the online community at DizDads.com, so we have some input from the community that we'll use if we appear to be deadlocked. We'll go ahead and start with a play-in match. The two restaurants competing for the number 16 seed in the Dinner and a Show bracket, and that would be Crossroads at House of Blues and T-Rex. Eric, why don't you take a run at giving us a description of Crossroads at the House of Blues?
Sure. I think when I first did the rankings for these, I did it purely on food quality.
Sure.
But as we found out, you know, going along in these things, people take a lot more into consideration when they're making their decisions about where to eat than just the food. That's going to be, I think, particularly important with this bracket. The thing that House of Blues has is their famous gospel brunch. So you got some good down-home Southern cooking, and you've got a gospel choir there to sing to you while you eat. And it's quite a show. But the food is, you know, about what you'd expect. It's good comfort food. They had a recent redo, brought in a new chef, and tried to make it more of a kind of a fusion sort of menu than the traditional Southern cooking. But still, it leans toward the South.
Yeah,
I guess is the best way to say it.
That's true. It does. And you know, even when it's not Sunday, you still get that sort of feel of a live music venue there. You know, the decor is House of Blues. And then sort of the heavy decor over at T-Rex. T-Rex is really all about theming. It is, in some ways, it seems to me, kind of, you know, what Walt imagined with the Tiki Room, but, you know, taken to the nth degree. It is a restaurant that is full of audio animatronics. It just immerses you in what amounts to dinosaur show. The unfortunate side is that the food is, in my opinion, sort of at best pedestrian. I feel like you're paying sort of table service prices for counter service food there. But the decor is unbeatable. You've got a kid who's into dinosaurs. It's almost, you know, hard to get him to sit and eat because it's ooh shiny, you know, every place they look. So I think that T-Rex is really all about the show. Some people may argue with me. There are some folks who think that they have a higher opinion of the food than I do. If I'm eating at T-Rex, the only reason I'm there is because of the decor. They've even got a Build-A-Dinosaur, you know, based on the Build-A-Bear concept in the restaurant itself. So it really is sort of all dinosaur all the time. So this matchup, again, it's a play-in. Only one of these survives to the real dance. Eric, do you want to expand a little bit on the competition here? Do you have a way you're leaning here?
I've got a strong lean toward the Crossroads at House of Blues. I am not that big a fan of dinosaurs attacking me while I'm trying to eat dinner. And that's kind of the sense. And any one of those like heavily themed loud places like this and Rainforest Cafe are kind of in the same bucket for me in terms of dining experiences. So I'm going to lean pretty heavily toward House of Blues.
So there's the first vote. Justin, you're up next. Has anybody persuaded you one way or the other?
The food sounds better to me at the House of Blues, and for the time being, I only have daughters who are not interested in dinosaurs, so I'll cast a vote for the House of Blues.
How about you, Brian?
Well, I'm somewhat torn here because of the whole family connection. Now, my daughters are huge fans of the Rainforest Cafe, and so the audio animatronics of T-Rex would definitely be appealing to them. However, I am a Chicago guy, and House of Blues being from Chicago, I've got to go with Crossroads.
All right. Well, we're going to call it a clean sweep. I actually have the only other T-Rex restaurant is here in Kansas City. I don't like to eat at restaurants at Disney World that I can eat at home. So I'm almost always going to choose House of Blues. So House of Blues will advance to the tournament itself, and we will come back to it shortly in its matchup with the number one seed in this group. But before we get there, we should take care of our other play-in round, and that is pitting ESPN Club in the Boardwalk area against Garden Grill in Epcot. And does anybody want to speak up here for Garden Grill?
I'll go ahead and talk about the Garden Grill a little bit. It's in the Land Pavilion in Epcot. We ate there in January. It's served family style. Basically, you're on a big, very slow-moving merry-go-round, as you will. And throughout the course of the meal, you'll make one big rotation, and the scenery on the walls change. And you can see a little bit down into the Living with the Land ride, I believe, at some point.
Yeah, sure.
It's also a character meal. Off the top of my head, I think it's Pluto and Mickey and Goofy, I think.
Yeah, and they're in their farmer garb, yeah?
Yes. And the food is served somewhat family style. There's a fish and a beef on the adult menu. I found it very good. It tastes fresh for a little something different for the family style. And we enjoyed it.
Okay. And Brian, you wanted to give us a little introduction here to ESPN Club?
Sure. I can talk about ESPN now. I think the ESPN Club is a nice oasis over on the boardwalk. It's kind of at the end of the boardwalk towards the international gateway to Epcot. And it's a interesting location given, you know, in Disney World, you're usually so insulated from the outside world. But for those of us sports fans, this is a great way to go get your fix and figure out what's going on and with your favorite team. And so, you know, as you'd expect with ESPN, there's a big sports bar. There's a nice restaurant area. They, of course, have their gift shops there as well. Nowhere in Disney can you go without a gift shop. but as far as food goes, you know, it's what I'd call a average sports bar menu. And they have kind of, you know, good food. I wouldn't say great food, but, you know, definitely worthwhile. And the other nice thing is they do have a nice selection of beverages and whatnot for the adults in the party.
Sure, sure. Yeah, it's nice to have, you know, a little bigger beer selection, and it is an escape back to the world outside of the mouse dome, so to speak.
I'll give you one example. A couple years ago, I was down visiting in the middle of January, and of course, this was during NFL playoff season.
Oh, sure.
And so it was nice to be able to go grab a beer, sit back and watch some of the football playoffs, even though I never actually got inside the bar that time. I was able to sit and watch it from the boardwalk and kind of catch up updates on the scores. And I remember the game I was watching was between the Steelers and I think it was the Ravens. So you can imagine there's a heated rivalry among the patrons at the bar.
Sure, sure. Yeah. So what we really have here is a competition against between two different kinds of shows. You know, you've got ESPN, which is a window to the outside world, you know, a chance to catch up on sporting events and things like that that are going on sort of outside of Walt Disney World, and then Garden Grill, which is really character-focused and looks into a classic Disney attraction. Chip and Dale are the hosts at the meal, and you know, you get those classic Disney characters. Eric, do you want to kind of try and persuade us one way or the other here?
I can give it a shot. I mean, my lean on this one is based a lot on some external factors. Like, if there is a sporting event going on in one of the major sports and you're trying to get into the ESPN club, it is very difficult. The place gets very crowded if there's a televised sporting event that you might like to see. So just getting in there can be a bit of a hassle. Like you're saying before, you can sometimes see the game from outside, but then you're outside. So it's not as conducive to, you know, sitting down, having a meal. And the food is kind of, yeah, I'd go with mediocre. Not the worst stuff, not the best stuff. I'm going to give a lean toward Garden Grill. The food is okay. It's still not the best food in the world, but it does have a couple of interesting things going for it. Like, it's the Chip and Dale character experience is a kind of a rare get as far as character meals go. And you do have some sort of local color there with the farmer garb that the characters are in. So it's another chance to see Mickey as well. So I would lean toward Garden Grill myself, just based on slightly better food and the fact that you can usually get in.
Right. Yeah, I mean, ESPN Club sort of has that blessing and curse, which is, you know, its primary draw is the opportunity to, you know, catch an important sporting event. Of course, the downside is that's the most difficult time it is, you know, to actually get a place to sit there and have a meal. So it kind of is, to some extent, self-defeating. I'm going to have to agree with you, Eric, and cast my vote to Garden Grill. I think that the classic characters and, you know, it's one of those opportunities to have a meal with Mickey that is often forgotten. So a lot of times there's an ADR available there when the other character meals that feature Mickey Mouse are not. So those speak in favor. I'm going to vote for it, but I will one caution. People who are extremely sensitive to motion sickness issues probably should skip it. Most people, the rotation of the restaurant isn't going to affect them at all. But if it's something that you're particularly sensitive to, I think you're better off avoiding it. All right, so we've got two votes for Garden Grill. How about you, Brian? Where are you going on this one?
Well, even though I was the one kind of introducing the ESPN Zone, I think I'm still leaning towards Garden Grill as well. And it kind of gets back to something you had said earlier. ESPN Zone, I have one in Chicago. I can go there anytime I want. When I go to Disney World, I like to escape. I don't want to see the real world, except for in those rare circumstances. So for the 99% of the time I'm at Disney World, I'm going Garden Grill.
All right, Justin, you're going to make it a clean sweep?
Sweep it. Well, I love my sports. Just the character interaction, being in the park for the Garden Grill takes this one for me.
All right. So Garden Grill makes the big dance, and we can get now into the meat of the dinner and a show bracket. First up is going to be the number one seed Tusker House versus number 16 seed Crossroads at House of Blues. Who wants to give us a little introduction to the character meal at Tusker House in Animal Kingdom?
I put this at the top of my list for a few reasons. First of all, the food is great. It's got a wide range of stuff. It's in Animal Kingdom, so you know you're in for some exotic spices and flavors in there, if that's what you're looking for. Breakfast and lunch both have characters involved, and it's another rare find is Daisy Duck is at the breakfast and lunch there. So if you've got Daisy Duck fans, then that's one of the few spots you can find her. The menu, like I said, features some exotic stuff, but it's also got a lot of very middle-of-the-road stuff, down to even like a cold cuts bar at lunch, if you want to go that middle of the road and just grab a sandwich. But they also have, you know, carving station with a lot of interesting spices. You've got, you know, curry dishes. In addition, some of the nicest cast members I've ever found. And one of the waiters there is quite possibly the loudest human being on the face of the earth. And it's just sort of a you know, you kind of hold your breath whether you're going to be seated even near his section, because the voice is just quite booming and can sometimes startle you if you're caught unaware.
All right. Well, that sounds interesting. And who wants to take a stab at well, we've talked about Crossroads, so I guess we don't really need the whole description again. You know, suffice to say, it's a music venue. They've got the gospel brunch on Sundays. They do have occasional live acts during the week as well. The menu has changed a little bit. As I understand, they got some input from celebrity chef Aaron Sanchez. So maybe added a little bit of a Tex-Mex twist to some of the Southern flavors that were already there. I think that we're probably ready to vote on this one, unless somebody feels strongly or wants to speak up for one of the other restaurants in particular here. But if not, I'm going to go ahead and turn to Brian and see where Brian wants to go with this.
Well, again, you know, this is one I'm kind of torn on. Again, being a Chicago guy, yeah, my heart wants to vote House of Blues, but the Tusker House, like Eric was saying, has such a great variety of foods. We did the Tusker House breakfast there a couple years ago. You know, having the characters coming around, you get the character interaction, you get an interesting selection, although there's still food for the not-so-adventurous, like my kids. And so everybody was really happy there, so I got to pick Tusker House this time.
All right, and Justin?
My vote goes to Tusker House as well. We had breakfast there. The fact that you get to have the greet with Daisy, plus they have this incredible fruit juice concoction. I'm not sure what's in it, but it's very tasty. So Tusker House it is.
Okay. So it's two votes Tusker House. Eric?
It's Tusker House for me too.
And so it's a clean sweep. And the number one seed in the dinner and a show bracket advances. Little challenge from Crossroads. And we move on to a much tighter matchup, at least in the online voting. And that is the number eight seed, Cape May Cafe. And Cape May Cafe is sort of interesting. You know, it's here in the dinner and a show bracket because of the character breakfast that they serve. But then they also have a seafood buffet dinner, which is kind of unique at Disney, among Disney restaurants. It's facing off against number nine, Hollywood and Vine, which is the home to the Disney Junior character meal. Do we have somebody who wants to kind of give a description of that character meal at Hollywood and Vine?
Sure, I can take a stab at that.
Okay.
So it's been a couple of years, so I know the characters are now changed over from when we had we dined at the Hollywood and Vine. But effectively, it was a buffet-style character dining experience, not dissimilar to Chef Mickey's or any of the other character dining places. The one aspect that I thought was interesting, though, is with the Disney Junior characters, they really did a much better job of actually interacting with the kids and, quite frankly, having more playful interactions with my girls, at least. You know, granted, I'll date myself here by saying, you know, we were there when it was JoJo's Circus with the characters and Little Einsteins. And so, you know, the girls really enjoyed that. They were really into both of those shows and really enjoyed seeing the characters. Looking at the food side of it, I would not rate this very highly. the buffet options there were pedestrian at best. In fact, it was definitely a below Disney standard buffet option. And so that's probably the best thing I can say about Hollywood and Vine.
Yeah, I mean, and we should note it's the Play and Dine breakfast and lunch character meal. The dinner is still a buffet, but not a character meal. And I think that that's pretty consistent with the, you know, what I hear about it now. You know, the characters have been updated somewhat. It's now Jake from Jake and the Neverland Pirates, Handy Manny, June, Special Agent Oso. And they do a pretty good job of updating those characters every, you know, year to 18 months or so to keep it, you know, fresh for that age group. I have heard some somewhat better reviews of the food there than it had been getting, so maybe it's getting somewhat better. But I can't quibble with Brian's description at this point because I haven't been back to try it. And so Cape May Cafe, Cape May happens to be one of my favorites, so I guess I'll do some of the description here. I have not done the character breakfast, so if somebody else has done the character breakfast, we should probably talk about that briefly as well. But I happen to love the seafood buffet there. It is, at this point, the only place that I've ever enjoyed a seafood buffet that did crab legs on a buffet and did them right. You know, you could bring them back to your table fresh and hot, and they didn't have that over-steamed, you know, rubbery, watery that you often get from a seafood buffet. I was just really struck by their ability to maintain a very high quality seafood in a buffet setting. And they also have a really nice section of you know, non-seafood items, enough that I was able to convince my family that doesn't eat seafood to, you know, make another ADR for Cape May Cafe so that I can enjoy the seafood. So that's a big bonus. Has anybody done the breakfast there?
Yeah, we have. It's pretty standard breakfast fare as far as buffets go, although there was a pretty good selection of baked goods, Danishes and whatnot, and also seems like a pretty good layout of fresh fruit. And, of course, the characters, Minnie, Goofy, and Donald in the beach attire. I would say this was the first ever meal that my wife and I had when we took our daughter for the first time. So it kind of holds a little special place in our heart, but it was good.
So we've got the description of the two restaurants generally. Does anybody, you know, feel like there's something they need to add? Or are we ready to vote? All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and throw it to Eric for a vote, and you can go ahead and add anything that you feel needs to be added to help persuade people to your side.
No, I think, people have covered it really well. And my lean is toward Cape May Cafe. I don't love everything that they do there, but I definitely like it better than Hollywood and Vine.
All right. So that's one vote for Cape May. How about you, Justin?
My vote goes to Cape May as well. The breakfast was good. I haven't read good reviews too much about the buffet at Hollywood and Vine. And though I haven't had a chance to try it, I would love to try the seafood buffet there.
And how about you, Brian?
It looks like it's going to be three votes for Cape May here. Hollywood and Vine is great for preschool age kids, but beyond age five, I think we need to go step up to Cape May.
All right. Well, we're going to make it a clean sweep because, as I've mentioned, Cape May is one of my favorites. So Cape May advances. The 8 seed survives the 9 seed and holds seed. And we move on to what is really, to me, an interesting matchup here, the 5-12 matchup, which pairs number 5, Crystal Palace, which is the Pooh and Friends character meal in the Magic Kingdom, against the Spirit of Aloha dinner show, just across the lagoon over at the Polynesian Resort. It's not in the resort itself, but it's in its own special Aloha Cove area where Luau Cove area where they have that luau. We actually recently did a whole show talking about the dinner shows, including Spirit of Aloha. The real focus there is the show. In a luau tradition, so, you know, hula dancing, they'll pull kids or other guests up to teach them dancing. The highlight of the show for many people, or for most people, is the fire dancers. They're really impressive, juggling fire and dancing with fire. The food gets mixed reviews. There have been some changes, at least tweaks to the menu in the not-too-distant past that looked to be improvements for the most part. Definite Hawaiian flavors. The big advantage it has, I guess, over other places is that it's sort of a fixed price dinner and show, and includes beer. And unlike other restaurants where, you know, you pay extra for alcoholic beverages, even if on a fixed price menu. It's one of the two that includes beer and wine. And then Crystal Palace is the character meal in the Magic Kingdom. Somebody want to talk about that one?
Sure. For my family, Crystal Palace is our favorite place to eat in the Magic Kingdom. The food gets sometimes mixed reviews. It's a buffet. We've mostly gone for lunch and dinner. You'll have your carving stations and quite a good selection of other hot food items. And then what we really like in particular, there's kind of a cold salad, salads bar with some pasta salads, different good mix of flavors, Southwest salad, and some Mediterranean type salad, a couscous salad that I really, really enjoy, and the spooned cornbread casseroles, not to be missed. And of course, the characters, Pooh, Tigger, and Piglet, and Eeyore as well. Crystal Palace is, the restaurant itself is pretty, pretty neat to look at. There's a lot of glass everywhere, and it's... I like the theming in there. And we haven't ever done the breakfast, but I know it's a pretty popular place for people to make that early dining reservation, get into the park, and be able to get some pictures in front of the castle without a lot of crowds in the background.
That's true. And, you know, there's nothing like, you know, offering Piglet some bacon.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that this one... I'm confident that the vote is pretty clear, but I'm going to toss this over to Eric for any additional comments and for his vote.
No, I don't think you can put a price on being able to have Piglet catch you eating bacon, though. That was a really great experience. And as for my vote, I'm going to go with Crystal Palace. I just think that they put out great food, very good food, sorry, in the Magic Kingdom, and it can sometimes be hard to find food that's that good in the Magic Kingdom. That's where I'm going to place my vote.
Okay, how about you, Brian?
I have to go with Crystal Palace as well. You know, we've done both the breakfast as well as lunch there, and neither meal is disappointed. And the fact that, you know, my kids can say they played with Pooh at dinner, yeah, you know, that seals the deal for us.
Okay, and Justin?
It's Crystal Palace for me as well.
And a clean sweep. Even free beer isn't going to pull me over to Spirit of Aloha. I'm going to have to cast my vote for Crystal Palace. So Crystal Palace holds seed and advances. And we move to the 4-13 matchup. We've got another of the classic Disney dinner shows, the Hoop-Dee-Doo Review, the 4 seed, matching up with the sort of arguably quintessential character meal, Chef Mickey's, the 13 seed.
You used the Q word.
I did. I used the Q word. Somebody had to. So we've got really kind of a couple of classics here. Who wants to take a stab at Hoop-Dee-Doo Review?
I can do that.
Okay.
Hoop-Dee-Doo Review is almost a vaudevillian show. And while that is happening, you're eating a nice meal served to you in buckets, which is always a plus. Fried chicken, ribs. This is another place where you can get all you care to drink, beer, wine, and sangria. It's not necessarily good beer, wine, and sangria, but the fact that it's free may go a long way toward sort of easing your concern over it. My kids have done the show. They found it really funny. On through the years, they still quote stuff from the show. I think the food is good. There's not a great selection. So, if you're looking for a wider selection. You may be hard pressed to find something that you like there, but if you like sort of basic down home food, like, you know, cornbread, ribs, fried chicken, which is a big hit for our family, then it's just fine for you.
And somebody else want to talk about Chef Mickey's a little bit?
Sure, I can take Chef Mickey's.
Okay.
Yeah, as you kind of said in the introduction, Aaron, it is the quintessential character meal. It is a buffet breakfast or buffet style restaurant in the Contemporary Resort. They have the, you know, as they call them, the Fab Five characters, you know, Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, Pluto, and Donald come around to greet you at your tables. And as far as food goes, it is a middle-of-the-road Disney buffet restaurant. But at the same time, you know, where else can you get all five major characters come by your table for that that special photo op? And perfect example is for us is that's our first stop, first breakfast every time we go, so we can check off the box of those first five characters.
Hmm. Right, right. Yeah, I mean, I think for a lot of people, Chef Mickey's is either a opening of the trip or closing of the trip, you know? It's a way that they officially start their vacation or the way they wrap it up. Well, let's go ahead and take some votes here. And if you've got something additional you feel needs to be said to help convince folks, go ahead and do it. Justin, cast your vote first.
All right, I'll cast a vote here. I haven't eaten either of these, but I will say that Hoop Dee Doo has been on our list for a while as something we need to try. Chef Mickey's, we haven't done it, and it's not real high on our list, just not because we don't want to see those characters, but we always seem to be able to do that in the parks. So I'll go ahead and vote for Hoop Dee Doo.
Okay. I'm going to cast my vote for Hoop Dee Doo as well. I know that Chef Mickey's is sort of the classic character meal, but it seems to me to have ended up with sort of all of the worst cliches of character meals. It's, you know, very expensive for what it is. It's a mediocre food experience at best. And I really feel like they cram so many people in there that the character experiences aren't what they are at a lot of other, you know, character meals, because they've just got to move the characters through so quickly. I just don't think that it is as good a character experience as some of the other character meals are, and that's really all it is. You're certainly not choosing Chef Mickey's for the menu. So I'm going to cast my vote for Hoop Dee Doo. And Eric, how about you?
I'm also going to go with Hoop Dee Doo. I've found that Chef Mickey has, well, it's traditionally been our like first night sort of entry into the Disney spirit. It's just gotten a little too hectic, a little too rushed, a little too crowded, and just not worth the money for the quality of food. There are better places to get that character experience elsewhere. So I'm going to have to vote down Chef Mickey.
Okay, so Hoop Dee Doo also advances with a clean sweep, and so far everybody's holding seed. We move on to, in the online voting, the most lopsided vote we've had yet in any of these matchups. It took until late this afternoon before one of these contestants had a single vote, and that is we have a matchup between Ohana at the Polynesian, the 3 seed, facing off with what is the Garden Grill, which survived the play-in match with ESPN Club. Talked a little bit about Garden Grill already. Ohana, we're really talking about two different meals. The breakfast and the dinner meal are very different. At breakfast, it's a character meal. Lilo and Stitch, Mickey and Pluto, and Goofy too. It's served family style. We just did this character meal back in January and really enjoyed it a lot. We have issues. I eat pork and the rest of my family doesn't, and they serve family style. Well, they went ahead and brought us both kinds of sausage. The waiter was really good about going back and checking and discovering that the sausage that we initially thought was okay wasn't, because although the sausage was chicken, it's in pork casings. It would have been something really easy to overlook, and we wouldn't have even noticed it. But it was really nice that he spent the time and checked on that and got it right. We really enjoyed the food. You know, I enjoyed it more than the others because I got to have the yummy sausage. But the character interactions were really nice. It's much more relaxed, much less, what's the word I'm looking for?
Hectic?
Yeah, it wasn't hectic. It was a relaxed breakfast where the characters happened to come by and visit, as opposed to being the, you know, wild show that Chef Mickey's appears to be. So we really enjoyed that. I don't know. Somebody else want to talk about dinner at Ohana?
I can do that.
Go for it.
This is the Carnivore's Delight. It's like a Brazilian steakhouse, however Hawaiian themed. They have folks coming around with meat on skewers, chicken, pork, beef, and as Barry Summer will attest, shrimp. The remains of which he used to build some sort of grand edifice on his plate.
It's only because he cheats. He uses chicken bones in the foundation, and we all know that that's cheating. So, Barry, you're busted.
This is, again, served family style, except for the roving meat providers. And they put out a good spread. They also have some entertainment going on. They have a woman who sort of teaches the hula and plays a ukulele, and they also have the kids do races with brooms and coconuts. Here's a hint, by the way. Whacking the coconut does not work as well as just pushing the coconut around with the broom.
Or so my son's method, which is to tuck the coconut under your arm like a football.
That could also work.
Much faster than the really frustrating broom.
Well, certainly. And what it comes down to is if you want to get a lot of protein charred to some varying degree, then this is a good place for you to go. It also has a nice touch of being in the Polynesian Resort. And if you get a table there at the right time, you might be able to sneak a peek at Wishes out the window. And worst case, you might, you know, go down to the beach after dinner to see the fireworks. So it's in a nice spot. The downside is it can be very hectic in the waiting area outside. I have seen near fist fights occur in the ADR line. And I am not kidding. I thought people were about to come to blows.
Yeah, it can get a little crazy there. All right, so we'll do like we've been doing, start casting it around for votes. So, Brian, I think it's your turn to go first. You have anything to add, or go ahead and just cast a vote?
Well, I think I'm going to add a little bit to the pile on Ohana here, just in the fact that I think some of you all know my youngest daughter has a severe dairy allergy. And we go to Ohana's. We've been there for breakfast. We've been there for the dinners. You know, the first time we actually went to Ohana, the chef came over and, of course, she couldn't have the regular dessert. And he came up with this concoction of rice dream ice cream, strawberries, bananas, and towered as tall as her almost and covered it with chocolate syrup. And she was in heaven. And, I mean, I think that just kind of speaks not only to, you know, Disney dining across, but Ohana seems to take it even just that one step farther of the level of service that they give to the guests. And like I said, whether it was for the breakfast, you know, like I said, it was the nice relaxed character breakfast, the dinner where you can, you know, fall into the meat coma, you know, 5 minutes after you walk out of the restaurant. We just got to go with Ohana's.
Okay. So that's one vote for Ohana. How about you, Justin?
Well, I'll say two things. First of all, I'd like to know who the contrarian vote is on this. I can't believe somebody voted against Ohana. Secondly, if you walk out of this meal for dinner, you're not doing it right. They should have to roll you out. So Ohana it is for me.
The online vote at this point is 32-1 in favor of Ohana. I'm guessing that one vote might have been an accident. But I'm also going to cast my vote for Ohana. You've heard what I've had to say. And, you know, I still maintain that my shrimp wall was taller than Barry's. He just cheats. So, Eric, what about you?
Yeah, I'm also going to vote with the meat sweats and go with Ohana as well.
All right. So Ohana advances in a walkover. And we get another interesting matchup here with maybe a couple of lesser-known character experiences. The number 6 seed, Mickey's Backyard Barbecue, and the number 11 seed, 1900 Park Fair. Somebody want to give us the lowdown on Mickey's Backyard Barbecue?
This is an interesting experience. It's another one of those, you know, two table service credit shows, for want of a better word, although it's more of a sort of like a camp out theme almost. You've got the characters out to talk to people, go around, run little dances for the kids, and you're basically served a lot of the same kinds of food as you'll find in say Hope to Do Review or Trails End Buffet. It's sort of the other Fort Wilderness Lodge area restaurant. It is one of those pricier character meals, but it's, I believe, the cheapest of the three. The Spirit of Aloha, Hope to Do Review, and then Mickey's Backyard Barbecue is the least expensive of those experiences. If you're paying out of pocket, they're all two table service credits. But yeah, it's basic, sort of camp out food again. But you do get some characters.
Right. Yes, you do. All right, and then it is facing off in this round against 1900 Park Fair. It's another one of those restaurants that has similar experiences but somewhat different at the two meals it serves. It does a character breakfast and a character dinner. The character breakfast is Alice the Mad Hatter and themed in that direction. The dinner is Cinderella and the Wicked Stepsisters and Lady Tremaine. And so you get a somewhat different experience, although, there's some similarities too. In each meal, you've got the sort of wacky over the top character. At breakfast, it's the Mad Hatter being the Mad Hatter and being over the top. And at dinner, it's the Wicked Stepsisters who kind of steal the show. Somebody want to talk about the menus at 1900 Park Fair or the experience a little more?
Well, I think the 1900 Park Fair menu, as far as, again, it's a buffet style character experience, but I think being at the Grand Floridian, I think they've taken buffet experience to a whole new level here. I think the offerings that they have there are far superior to any of the other buffets I've seen at Disney World. One of the items, of course, that's very popular is the strawberry soup. Very yummy, of course. But the other thing is the experience. And we went for dinner with the stepsisters and the stepmother and Prince Charming walking through the restaurant as well. It actually is almost like you're at a live improv comedy show. Just the way they interact with the guests and get everybody involved. We really enjoyed that, and I think it was a fun time.
And so let's start the voting and or additional comments with Justin this time. Justin, what do you think?
Okay, I don't really have any additional comments because I haven't experienced either of these, but I'm going to go with the online vote, and I'll pick 1900 Park Fair.
All right, so Justin speaking for the masses tonight, and we'll kick this on over to Eric for his vote.
Yeah, this is a closer one than I would expect once you take into account the one big thing that 1900 Park Fair has going for it, which is the stepsisters. I've seen them get into a cat fight where they both were rolling around on the ground in the middle of a bunch of diners, and that is one of the funniest Disney experiences I have had. On the other hand, I just don't think the food holds up that well. I'm not a big fan of strawberries, so the strawberry soup, so the signature dish there, doesn't really do it for me. And I'm also not crazy about the layout of the dining room. So I'm going to have to go with the Mickey's Backyard Barbecue for this one.
Yeah, I have a good friend who refers to that strawberry soup as cream of Skittles. I think that for me in this category, Mickey's Backyard Barbecue is intriguing to me, and it's a really interesting concept. I think that it's not worth twice the price. At $60 a head, I just can't justify Mickey's, not when there's such a great show being put on at 1900 Park Fair. I think that both the breakfast meal and the dinner meal offer something that's unique. And, you know, if you really want to see something go crazy, if you've got a preteen boy in your family, have him bring a toy ring and propose to one of the stepsisters, because he will suddenly be the center of the show for the evening.
Or the middle of the tug-of-war rope.
That could be, too. So I am going to go ahead and cast my vote for 1900 Park Fair. And we have our first upset of the night with number 11, 1900 Park Fair, overtaking number 6, Mickey's Backyard Barbecue. All right, so two more matches in this bracket. We next have the 710, and this is a really interesting matchup. I find this one very intriguing. We have the number 7 seed, Whispering Canyon Cafe, located in the Wilderness Lodge, versus number 10, Cinderella's Royal Table in the Magic Kingdom. Who wants to take a stab at talking about Whispering Canyon Cafe?
We ate there for the Diz Dads convention. That was it was a good meal. It's your it's served family style. It's the you got your ribs and your chicken, your beef, and the spicy sausage. It's in the Wilderness Lodge. It's great theming in there. The food for us was good, not great. But the waiters kind of make the meal a little bit better. You know, you ask for the giant soda or a large Coke, and they bring you a gallon of Coke. And of course, there's the endless milkshakes, which are very popular as well.
Okay, and you can't leave out the antics that are, you know, at the core of Whispering Canyon Cafe. I mean, I don't want to spoil it all, but you know, not just asking for a large drink, but anything from needing some ketchup to accidentally dropping a fork. Any of those things can trigger a significant reaction from your wait staff and the rest of the crowd at Whispering Canyon Cafe. Needless to say, it's not a calm and relaxed meal.
No.
I don't think anybody would accuse it of that. So who wants to take a stab at talking about Cinderella's Royal Table?
I can take a stab at that one.
Okay.
Again, this is a opportunity for especially those of us with daughters to dine in the castle at the Magic Kingdom. Now, you know, it's a character dining meal where, you know, Cinderella and you get a picture with Cinderella in her throne, and then some of the other princesses will come around to the tables. I still am not 100% sold that it's worth the double table credit ticket on it. But at the same time, I think it gets back to that, hate to use the keyword, but the quintessential experience of having a meal inside the castle at Magic Kingdom. And it's just one of the only ways you'll ever get to do that. As far as the food goes, we've done breakfast and dinner there as well over the years. It's served kind of in a all you care to eat, served plate by plate, probably best way to describe it. So if you wanted more, you can ask for more, but they're not offering up extra.
Okay.
The food's okay, but I wouldn't, it's not something I would necessarily go out of my way for the food.
Sure. Okay, and so, Eric, why don't I toss it to you for the first vote and or attempt to further persuade?
Sure, I'll try to maybe combine the two things. I've been to Cinderella's Royal Table. The only thing I think it has going for it is its location. And if that's what you want is to eat in the castle, then that's your only option. I don't think it's the best princess meal. I don't think it's the best two table service credit meal. And honestly, for the price, I would rather go to Whispering Canyon Cafe. So I'm going to vote that way.
Okay. Which sounds reasonable to me. In fact, I would go as far as to say, if I was paying Cinderella's Royal Table price, I'd rather pay it at Whispering Canyon. Even though, you know, normally it's substantially cheaper. I'm going to definitely cast my vote for Whispering Canyon. You know, it's not the place you want to eat. It's not for every family. It's not for every circumstance. I think it's a much better choice, for example, for breakfast or for dinner than it is for breakfast, because I think that the show that accompanies that meal is, it just fits better at dinner. You know, at breakfast, you've got tired and cranky people who are not really awake yet and aren't ready for the kind of antics that you get at Whispering Canyon. As far as Cinderella's Royal Table goes, it's extremely expensive. And you can get better princess dining experiences elsewhere. You know, yeah, it's the castle, and maybe I downplay it too much, but, you know, I have a daughter who is mostly on the backside of the princess crazy time, but, you know, she's never complained about not having dined in the castle. So I'm going to take that as a sign that it's really not that necessary. And I'm going to, like I said, vote for Whispering Canyon. So I'm going to bounce this over to Justin.
Yeah, I'm pretty close on these two. It is a kind of a special event to be able to eat in the castle. But when you consider the other options, and you consider the price, it really boils down to that being more like a one and done type meal. And then Whispering Canyon, better food. And of course, you're saving probably about half.
Okay, now wait, before you cast your vote, I think Brian has something he wants to add.
Well, I was going to say that there's a couple of things I just want to add about talking about Cinderella's Royal Table. First of all, one of the trips we went down there, I had three girls all in their Disney princess dresses eating breakfast at Cinderella's Royal Table. At the same time, across the room at the table right by the window in the castle, we got to see a guy propose to his future wife. And so for that atmosphere, being able to do that in the castle, I got to at least tug at some heartstrings about Cinderella's Royal Table. Granted, we love Whispering Canyon as well, which makes this a difficult choice for us, but I think there's just some sentimentality to dining in the castle. So I'm going to give it that one vote.
Okay, so we're now at 2-1. Justin, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to throw us into the tie?
It really is a difficult, because I'll be honest with you, Whispering Canyon, the food didn't blow me away.
Sure.
But neither did Cinderella's castle, the food wise. It was good though. I wouldn't say it was bad. It was just good. It wasn't great. We ate there when we were on the dining plan. I definitely wouldn't pay out of pocket for that. I'd go to Victoria and Albert's before I did that again. But if I was to go back on the dining plan, I'm going to vote for Cinderella's Royal Table.
All right. Well, that's a 2-2 tie. And as we said, when we get a tie like that, we're going to toss it to the online vote. And so we turned to the community, and with 33 votes overall, Whispering Canyon took 23 votes, 10 for Cinderella's Royal Table. And so by the skin of its teeth, Whispering Canyon Cafe, the number 7 seed, survives a tough challenge from number 10, Cinderella's Royal Table.
Well, given the fact that this is the Diz Dads, I can understand that vote.
All right, so now we're down to the last matchup of this region, of this division, and that is sort of the major alternative Princess Meal, the number two seed, the Princess Storybook Dining at Akershus, facing off against number 15 seed, 50s Primetime Cafe. Akershus located in the Norway Pavilion in Epcot, and 50s Primetime Cafe in Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Akershus is buffet mainly, but also has some stuff sort of family style at each meal. We primarily go for breakfast, where they have like a hot plate that they bring around with eggs and bacon and these wonderful cheesy potatoes. Meanwhile, up at the cold buffet, there are things like fruit, bagels, as well as all the salmon you care to eat, which makes it near and dear to my heart. The princesses here, you'll get Belle out at the front of the restaurant for your photo op at the beginning. Generally, it's almost 100%, but they like to say, never.
Right,
It could change, but so you'll get a picture with Belle in her fancy yellow dress, and then you'll have a parade of princesses going through. And we've had a pretty good mix over several years of going here, including a rare Mulan sighting in at a princess meal.
Right,
that is rare.
I would just say that the food is really good. I think it's got it all over Cinderella's royal table in terms of a princess meal. The food's better, the price is better, and I think the princess interaction is better as well.
Okay. I will note that the lunch and dinner service is a little bit different. They do still have what they call sort of the cold bar, which is, salads and cold cuts and cheeses, and the smoked salmon is always there. A couple other, more Norwegian traditional fish. There's some herring, which you're probably not going to get onto a kid's plate, things like that. That's available, and then the entree is a plated meal you order off of the menu. So it's served a little bit differently at dinner, but the experience, I would say, is pretty much the same. I like that there's more room there than there is at Cinderella's Royal Table. The princesses can move around more. I think that, as you've mentioned, that the interactions are a little better. I think it's a function of the fact that it's not as crowded. It's not as difficult for those interactions to take place. And then we also have, obviously, 50s Primetime Cafe. Somebody want to talk about 50s Primetime? It's a little bit different kind of show there.
Sure, I'll talk about it.
Okay, go ahead.
So basically, you're eating in mom's kitchen in the 1950s. It's your old-time favorites, fried chicken, pot roast, meatloaf, which for our family, we enjoy the food there. And the theming in the restaurant is very good. You sit there, there's TVs that'll be showing clips from some of the old television shows. And the wait staff, they are your cousins, basically. That's how they present themselves. And they're of course dressed in the 50s fashion and have pretty good character that they bring to it. You might find yourself in trouble if you should put your elbows on the table
or fail to eat your vegetables.
Yes. So and just I will say this probably, I don't know if it really fits with the 50s Primetime, but just next door is the Tune In Lounge, and it's a nice little place to sneak off for an adult beverage when you're in the studios.
This is true, too. Okay, so we've got basic descriptions of each. Why don't I toss this over to Brian and see which way he's leaning. Go ahead and cast a vote and maybe try and convince us to come along with you.
Well, I must admit, this was a difficult one for me to pick between the two because in our last trip, just a month ago or so, we actually ate at both these places and both really enjoyed the experience. As Eric talked about, the Princess experience at Akershus, we did a lunch there. I actually got to have a Norwegian meatball meal, which I'd never had before, which was really tasty. My girls and my wife both enjoyed their meal. Then we, at the same time, we went for dinner at 50s Prime Time, and my wife said she had that was the best chicken pot pie she's ever had. It reminded of her mom's growing up, and we both had kind of a recognition of our age, I'll say, when we walked into the waiting area and she saw her grandmother's coffee table and I saw the encyclopedias I used to use to do research on my papers when I was growing up. So so both of us, of course, had to snap pictures and send them back to our parents to say, hey, look.
Of course.
But as far as – if I was to have to pick one or the other, I think I'd have to lean to 50s Prime Time. I think it's just a better food experience. It's a more unique experience. You know, the princesses are good at Akershus, but there are other princess experience opportunities throughout the parks. Whereas, not every day you get to have kitchen in or have dinner in mom's kitchen. So I'm going to go with 50s Prime Time.
Okay, that's one vote for 50s Prime Time. Let's bounce it over to Justin for his vote.
Okay, like Brian, this is a difficult decision. These are places that we both we repeat at both of these restaurants. We like the food at 50s Prime Time, but the at Akershus, the Princess experience is just it's better than the Cinderella's Royal Table for us at a better price, being as my two girls just love those princesses, we're gonna go with Akershus.
Okay, so we've got one vote for Akershus, one for 50s Prime Time. Eric, what do you say?
I'm gonna have to go with Akershus. Akershus too. I also have a couple young girls, and they are still into the princesses. And honestly, the shtick at 50s Prime Time gets to me. It just wasn't enjoyable. And again, the food. I know they've got some, you know, sort of down home favorites, but I can think of four other places on property that I would rather have the fried chicken and at least one where I'd rather have the meatloaf than at 50s Prime Time. So I'm going to go with Akershus.
Okay, bacon. Fair enough.
You can't put bacon-wrapped meatloaf against mom's meatloaf. Come on.
That's right. It's got bacon. Bacon.
I'm going to have to agree with Eric. I think that it's a close call here, but I'm going to cast my vote for Akershus. I think that it has a couple of things going for it over 50s Prime Time. Number one, it's another one of those restaurants where you can book that pre-opening breakfast, get into the park early, get your day started out right with the Princess breakfast and, you know, be right there at the park as park opens. And it's just a great – I think it's the best princess dining experience at Walt Disney World. 1900 Park Fair is also really great, but it's a little bit different kind of experience. It's not so much a princess experience. Princess is there, but it's really more about the stepsisters. I'm going to have to cast my vote for Akershus. That puts Akershus over the top, and Akershus advances. So just to give you a quick rundown of how this all played out tonight, we had first the Crossroads at the House of Blues survived a play-in game against T-Rex. ESPN Club lost to Garden Grill in its play-in game. And then in the regional itself, we had Tusker House over Crossroads House of Blues, Cape May Cafe over Hollywood and Vine, Crystal Palace over Spirit of Aloha, Hoop-Dee-Doo Review over Chef Mickey's, Ohana over Garden Grill, Our first upset, 1900 Park Fair over Mickey's Backyard Barbecue, Whispering Canyon Cafe over Cinderella's Royal Table, and finally, Ockertus over 50's Primetime Cafe. You all now have heard what we thought about these restaurants. We'd love to hear what you think. You can email us at podcast@dizdads.com, visit our blog, dizdads.com, tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter, or participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. And remember to check the feed for our new midweek dad show, Your Hump Day Disney Fix. We'll be back with the last of the regionals next Sunday. But until then, I've been Aaron Rittmaster, and with me tonight were Eric Anderson.
See you later, folks.
Brian Newell.
Good night, everyone.
And Justin West.
Excuse me while I go raid the refrigerator.
Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.